Thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast from Discovery Church. Our hope is that this message would help you seek truth and find purpose. If you would like to know more about Discovery Church, please check us out online at mydiscoverychurch.ca. With that said, let's go to this week's message.
It's super great to be here. You know, we're kind of in the dead of summer. I used to love summer when I was growing up. Lauren often tells you stories about when he was young. And when I was young, like long, long time ago, we'd set up a tent in the backyard because the house was just too hot. And we would just lay around that tent in the backyard and we would read comic books. Like, we had garbage bags full of comic books, and we would just lay there reading our favorite comics. You know, it's funny how they're all making a comeback on TV, right? And in the movies, you know, you got Flash and Thor and, you know, all these comic books that I'd be reading. And one of the things we would do as kids, though, you know, some when you're late and you're trying to fall asleep, we would say to each other, you know, well, if we were in a fight, I would get, and then we name a superhero, like, I would get Batman, because, you know, he's got all these great moves. Oh, yeah? Well, I'd get Superman, because, like, he's invulnerable, and he can, like, laser you with his eyes, and we would just, you know, be comparing them again. Well, I'd get the Flash, because you can't even see him, and he's so quick, and, we would just be comparing all these superheroes, and it would always end pretty much the same. Oh, yeah? Well, I would get God. And it was like, okay, well, how do you ever come back to that? Because, you know, how can anyone be more powerful or more able to take on any superhero than God? So we would, you know, compare, you know, like how they were so much better. It's kind of funny, though, when it comes to, you know, people comparing what I believe against what they believe and what's better than someone else's. Funny thing. In 2001, there was a census in Canada, and 21,000 people in Canada put down their religion as Jedi Knight. They did! 21,000, you know, the ways of the Force. 21,000 put that down. In the UK, I think it was 19,000. And they said more people listed themselves as Jedi Knight or believing in the Force than Scientology. So eat your heart out, Tom Cruise. You think about it. In the National Home Survey in Canada recently, there were still 9,000 people who said they were a follower of the Jedi. And you think of, you know, all the things that people believe in, all this different kinds of stuff. And I was thinking to myself, well, why should people believe in Jesus? You know, we've been singing about Jesus and how he's the Savior and he rescued me and all these different things. And I was thinking back to, you know, when I first put my faith in him, because he was just so much better than everything I could think of believing in. And sometimes we take this for granted. If you've been in the church a lot, it's like, yeah, Jesus, you know, he's like, I don't know, mom and apple pie. He's, of course, you know, people believe in Jesus. But if you think about how different he was than every other religious leader and every other prophet and anyone who ever came on the earth, it just astounds me. If I were to think of, you know, the first thing that makes him so much better than anyone you could believe in, I would think of, especially because he cares about the nobodies and the nothings. Other military leaders, other powerful people, they would want to align themselves with, like, really powerful people. But when you look at Jesus, he goes out of his way to find the wounded people of society. He actually seeks them out. He doesn't look for the people who can make him look good Or the people who would show up, you know, on his Instagram profile and it's like, oh yeah, I got to be seen with the cute people, you know, or the fun people. Jesus went for the people that most of us would write off, those wounded people in society. There was one woman, you can read the stories in the Bible, 18 years, she had this disease, just blood that wouldn't stop flowing. It made her unclean. People wouldn't want to touch her. And people were willing to take her money from her. These quacks took their money from her, but didn't really offer any kind of solution. She spent everything she had trying to get better. But Jesus made her well in one instant touch. Or you think about the working class poor. I mean, we have thousands and thousands of them in Canada right now. People will die and still be in debt. But the working class poor in Jesus' time were so set apart. You had the people who owned land, and then you had the people who worked the land. And there was this huge divide between them. And Jesus went out of his way to be among the common people. Those people who were treated like slaves, and basically they worked for bread. And Jesus would gather those people and give them hope, and he would talk about his kingdom. Thousands would gather, and in different times, rather than send them away hungry, he gave them probably the best meal that they had that week, of fish and bread. And thousands at a time, he fed them. He fed the hungry. He cared for them. And so, you know, that's the kind of person that I feel I could follow. Someone who would care about the people everyone else forgets. You know, that's someone who I can really, really admire, respect, and want to be like. And in fact, Jesus also went out of his way for widows. You know, in the ancient times, widows had nothing. In general, they had nothing because they weren't left property. It went to others. In society, there wasn't like free health care. There wasn't welfare. Anyone looking out for them. And Jesus goes out of his way one time. He sees a funeral going by. This woman's son is being carried through the crowd. And everyone's crying. And she's devastated. See, because for a widow, your only hope would be your kids. And this was her only son going past Jesus. And Jesus reaches up a hand in this little town. Another thing, Jesus would go to the little towns and touch this man who was dead, her only son. And he sits up on the stretcher. I could just see everyone around them going, this is crazy. This is insane. But he does it out of compassion for that widow who really could offer him nothing, do nothing for his, you know, campaign. But he does that because of compassion. You know, a lot of people watch The Walking Dead. You know, these zombies walking around, and it's like they're so gross. They're just so, so gross, right? And you know, good thing we don't have smell-o-vision. Because if we had smell-o-vision instead of television, can you imagine what those things would smell like? It's like, it just give you that, you know, all over. But Jesus touched the walking dead. In their society, they call them lepers. Lepers have no feeling in the extremities, and basically their extremities start to fall off. They get wounds that don't heal. And Jesus, in his society, to touch one of them would make you one of them. You'd be unclean. And Jesus would actually touch the walking dead, those wounded people, and heal them and make them completely different. You know, sometimes we wouldn't want to associate with people who could make us sick, or people who, you know, smell. But Jesus goes out of his way to touch those people and be like that. I admire that kind of a person. I admire someone who would do that. That kind of a person is worth following. That kind of a person is somebody that I would want to tell other people about, because he's so so amazing. But, you know, not only did he associate with those people, sometimes we write off the wealthy too. And we would say, oh yeah, you know, they've got it made, they don't need anything. But Jesus showed compassion even to the wealthy. He couldn't be bought by them. He couldn't be influenced by them. He didn't want to hang out on their yacht. But one wealthy man, a guy named Zacchaeus, probably about my height, a little guy, just a little guy. But he was a crook. He was a tax collector who would take way more than he was supposed to so that he could have the high life. And he could live, you know, such an easy, comfortable life with servants and everything else. But he sees this guy going through the crowd. He gets up in a tree and he starts looking to see what this guy's talking about. And Jesus notices him in the tree. He was out of his tree. But Jesus sees him in the tree and says, come down, I'm going to eat with you. Now you see, you know, sometimes we can idolize, you know, those who have money. We can idolize those who don't have money. But it was insignificant to Jesus. It had no power over him. And so he says, yeah, I'll go and eat with you. And I'll be at your house. And he spends time with the wealthy. There's another one, a guy named Jairus. He was a ruler, had money, landowner. And he healed that man's daughter. Another man, Nicodemus, at night, in the darkness, he was so afraid to be seen with Jesus that he sets up a meeting in the dark. And you have to realize, I've been to Israel. When the lights are out, they are out. You know, it is so dark. They didn't have, like, you know, lamp posts or anything. It was like, they probably couldn't even see each other talking there. Maybe there was a fire somewhere nearby. And Jesus says to him, you need to be born again. You need a do-over. You need to start again the right way. And he tells them that. So Jesus, you know, was able to work with the wounded, the walking dead, but even the wealthy. And that I admire. And you know, if you worship Jesus, it just gives you an extra reason to say, yeah, he is worth worshiping. The other thing that I love about Jesus, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I had this kind of anti-establishment bent when I was growing up. You know, this idea, you don't trust anyone over 30. You don't have to trust me. You can trust the Bible, but don't trust me. But, I mean, it's kind of like those people, those suits, I would call them. I didn't trust them. But Jesus wasn't a suit. Jesus could not be bought by political power or by prestige or pressure. And to think about that as a leader, the things that people would give into. Today, politicians, you know, they say about politicians, those who are not in power want to be in power, and those who are in power want to stay in power. None of those things meant anything to Jesus. He wasn't trying to set up a political kingdom. He wasn't trying to establish himself as some kind of famous celebrity. You know, we worship celebrities. Jesus actually would tell people sometimes after he did a miracle, don't tell anyone about this. And the more he'd say that, the more they'd follow him. But it was amazing how he just could not be bought. He couldn't be bought by any of those things. You know, religious people in that time had a lot of clout. They had a lot of power. They could actually meddle in your day-to-day life. And Jesus wouldn't give in to those religious, self-righteous hypocrites. He wouldn't give in to their power. And so he would know that they were watching him. And he would know, oh, it's, you know, the Sabbath. It's Saturday. You can't do work on a Saturday. And Jesus would purposely, right in front of them, heal somebody and then just call them out and say, you hypocrites, wouldn't you rescue a donkey if it fell down a well? But you won't let me heal one of your own on this day. So Jesus wouldn't give in to those religious people. I don't know, maybe this rebellious bent in me. I like the fact that, you know, he wants to stick it to the man, you know. I don't know, Jesus, I don't know, he had the long hair, kind of, you know, he had that kind of hippie look, you know, and I grew up in the 60s and 70s. So it was just, he's the guy, you know. They even made you know, a play about him called Jesus Christ Superstar. And the funny thing about this, there's a place in that where he doesn't give in to the religious power or the political power there. There's a scene in Jesus Christ Superstar where Herod says, "Walk across my swimming pool," you know, and Jesus won't put on an act for him. He didn't play to the crowd. He was a straight shooter. And some of the people really didn't like some of the things that he said. And if you're looking at Jesus and saying, "Oh, come on, Jesus, sweet and mild," and no, there's a lot of times, if you read through the Gospels, he says some pretty cutting stuff. And whoa, and he's like, "I wouldn't say that. You know, I just want everyone to like me." Jesus wasn't concerned about everybody liking him because he always told the truth. He always told the truth, never bent it. So I found that pretty amazing. So the religious leaders couldn't buy him. The rich couldn't buy him. There's a place where this Pharisee, a rich man, invites him to a dinner party. And instead of just, you know, going along with the whole thing, they're trying to check Jesus out. Is this guy legit? And a woman walks into that scene. And my daughter was just teaching a lesson about that to junior highs. And I was so amazed by the fact that she walks in, her tears are dripping on his feet, and he doesn't go, "Oh, don't touch me." And then she takes her hair and rubs it on his feet, and he doesn't say, "Get away from me, woman," because he knew she had a terrible reputation. And even though she had a terrible reputation, what does he say to her? "Because of your repentance, because of your belief, your sins are forgiven you." The host at the party is totally scandalized. You know, you see him? You know, he's just going so terrible. It's like, do you know what kind of a woman she is? And Jesus looks at him, "Well, she's better than you." Ouch. Right? Because when I came in, you didn't give me the traditional greeting kiss. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't anoint me with oil. But this woman, from the time she got in here, has been lavishing me with love. See, Jesus sees the heart. And he could see the people trying to manipulate him. And the rulers, he wouldn't give in to them. In fact, when he stood before the representative of Rome, and this guy Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Jesus just stood silent in front of him. Instead of trying to convince this guy, trying to get off the hook, it's like, "I can see right through you, and I'm not going to give in. You can even kill me. I'm not going to give in to Rome." So Jesus was amazing that way. But he wouldn't even give in to the rebels. There's a group of people, these zealots, you call them, they wanted to make him king. "Let's overthrow. It's happening. Come on. Let's set the apple cart. Let's make him king. Let's set him up." And Jesus wouldn't be made king either. He wouldn't give in to those zealots, those anarchists who wanted to take off over the government. He wouldn't do that either. Well, what I like about that, and what makes me so amazed by him, I mean, sometimes Jesus didn't do things that I would do, but I like the fact that he couldn't be bought. I like the fact that he didn't give in to all these different kind of things. See, that's someone that I could admire. That's someone that I could worship. But, you know, sure, he's a great guy. He was a great leader. He was an amazing person. But that's not enough to make him God. And so the third reason that I worship him, I follow him, and I think that everybody should, is because he proved that he had dominion, power over every different force imaginable. As you read through the Gospels, it seems like that was the intention of these four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wanted to show that he wasn't just a prophet. Hey, there's been lots of prophets. Muhammad was a prophet. There are prophets in the Old Testament. There's prophets in every different kind of religion. But what got Jesus killed was the fact that he claimed to be God. He shows that he has power, first of all, over self. He had power over desire. He went and was tempted 40 days in the wilderness. And even at the end of that, would not turn stones into bread when he was tempted. He wouldn't give in to desire. Sometimes I thought about it, come on, how could anyone be that perfect? Have you ever thought that way? How could anyone be that perfect? And he must have sinned once. I mean, Jesus said to even look at a woman with lust in your heart, that is sin. And so he never once did that? Yeah, he didn't. He never once gave in to sin. What's the proof of that? Well, the proof of that is this, that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and yet when he went to the tomb, it couldn't hold him. They had nothing on him. They had nothing on him. Death had nothing on him because he was sinless and pure and perfect. You see, that is amazing. Also, he has power over disease. Many, many times as you read through the Gospels, it says that he healed all their diseases. There wasn't one he couldn't tackle. Every single one of them. And probably every one of you has heard some story about some person that was healed of cancer. Not everyone. But you hear stories of people who are healed of this and that and the other kind of thing through the power of Jesus Christ. The scriptures also show that he had powers over supernatural forces. Supernatural forces. I don't know. Any of you get afraid of ghosts? Demons? That kind of thing? Okay, they scare me. Sorry. I just would not like to be in that situation. I've been in a few where I've actually seen some of this weird, you know, supernatural stuff. You would not like it. Maybe you like watching, you know, supernatural movies, horror stories, or that show called Supernatural. Yeah, I don't like that stuff. Gives me nightmares. Yeah. But Jesus went into nightmare situations and showed that he had power over spiritual forces. What kind of a guy is this? Well, actually, he's not just any guy. He's God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. And he sees a demon straight up and just casts it out. He has power over that. You know what? He also has power over disaster. If you went to Galilee, I've been there. I've gone to a museum where they have some of the wrecks of ships that were destroyed there. It's not a huge sea, you know, the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, it's not even anywhere the size of Lake Ontario. It's small. You can see the whole thing from the top of the hill. The whole thing. You can see the whole thing. But the storms on it are horrendous. The waves suddenly whip up, and it's disastrous. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus actually so calm. He's asleep in a boat when there's a storm. He gets up and he says to the storm, "Be quiet." See, he even has power over the universe, the natural realm. And I guess the last thing that they see about him that shows me that he is God is he has power over death. Many of you have heard the story that he raised someone named Lazarus, one of his friends, from the dead. The guy's been in there. His family says, the guy stinks. He's been there for 3 days. It's like, deal with it. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. I read one scholar who said, if he didn't say Lazarus and he just said, come forth, then every person who had ever died at any time would have suddenly resurrected. It would have been the resurrection if he didn't say, Lazarus, come forth. And then he just walked out of the grave. He walked out of the grave. But that's not the only case. There's Jairus' daughter, the woman at Nain who rose from the dead. But then he himself rose from the dead, showing he's not just a great guy. He is God. He is God. See, someone like that is someone that I can put my faith in. Someone I can trust in. But there's a lot of people, they say, well, come on. We've heard these stories, you know, for centuries. There's all kinds of people who you know, have heard this story before. Maybe Jesus was a liar. Maybe he wasn't really God. Maybe it's just all made up. Well, he had a chance to lie and not go to the cross. He could have just said, I'm joking. He's like, no, you know. No, he even to save himself, he went to the cross. So he wasn't lying. Some people say, well, maybe he was just crazy. He was just the Looney Tunes, you know, like he was just, you know, nuts. Well, if he's just nuts, try and explain the miracles. Try and explain the followers who, rather than just say, okay, yeah, he was a little bit of a nut. His followers actually went to their death rather than deny this. And in fact, if you consider it, some people said, well, maybe it's just a legend. It was all made up. Weird thing, 50 days after his resurrection, in one day, one church service, 3,000 people, right where he was, came to say that he is the Christ. He is the Lord, not a legend. So then, what is the option? What is the final option? Well, all of us can try and write him off. But the truth is, if he really is who he said he is, then he is the only one who can claim to be my Lord. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Like kids say, you're not the boss of me. Well, actually, he is. He's the boss of me. He's Lord. And so when I consider all of these things, I consider the way he cared about the wounded. Well, that's me. He cares about me. When I think about the fact that he couldn't be bought, see, that's someone that I can respect. That's someone that I can worship. And then finally, when we see that he has power over every force, I'm not going to call Batman. I'm not going to call Superman. I want Jesus on my team. And I want to be on his team. I want to align myself in this life and the next with Jesus of Nazareth. That's the one I want to give my life to following. Okay, getting back to the Jedi. We hear from the Jedi movies, the Star Wars, two there always are. Master and an apprentice. If you're going to follow Jesus, he is the master. We are the apprentice. We live his way. We live by his words. Not our own way. We're learning the master's ways. So maybe, you know, your commitment gets a little bit soft. And you say, do I really want to be an apprentice of Jesus Christ? Considering who he is, I say, yeah, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to give my life to that. It's worth it. It is worth it. I want to learn the ways, not of the force. I want to learn the ways of the Lord. And I want to become, not a Jedi, but I want to be a disciple. I want to be a disciple.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this week's message from Discovery Church. If this ministry has impacted you in any way, we would love to hear about it. Please email us at info@mydiscoverychurch.ca.